This is Jim Semivan, and you are listening to That UFO Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. My name is Andy, and this is a bit of a news roundup for you today. Later in the week, I'm going to be joined by Dan, where we're going to go through these back and forward, answering your questions and getting your thoughts and opinions on some of these big news items from the last week, but also from the first half of the year. But today, I'm going to run through some of these, and if you've got any opinions, questions, or thoughts, send them over, and I'll discuss that at the end with you. Let's get into some of the news. The big one people were getting in touch with me asking for a comment on was Ross Coulter and Bryce Zabel on the recent Need to Know episode. Bryce Zabel dropped a little bit of a teaser to say it was a big episode. A lot of interesting stuff was said by Ross. People should tune in and check it out. You know, doing the hype thing. However, it did leave people chatting afterwards. So to run you through some of the main comments, if you haven't seen or listened to the latest Need to Know, as always, folks, I'd encourage you to go and check it out yourself if you haven't. However, couple of things. So Ross Coulthart mentioned feeling being humoured by Congress when it comes to legislation and the UAP Disclosure Act still not managing to go through. He talked about Ross Coulthart believes that with Congress becoming aware of the legacy programs, the crash retrieval programs, they have a counter spin being put on them, that if they reveal the truth of NHI, that's going to expose a huge program that would damage national security. I know a lot of folks roll their eyes at the whole national security thing. Personally, I'm in both camps. I want to know everything. But I also understand why there's quite a lot they won't let us know. And some of it we probably don't want to or, you know, pardon the pun, need to know, that doesn't relate to NHI. But I think there is an element there of there are things they would want to keep secret. But what they're doing is they're using those couple of things to blanket keep secret everything else. And I won't mention some of those just yet because Ross goes into a lot of detail on this episode that I'm going to bring up. What I'm going to mention, though, is why and how Ross believes what he's about to say here I'm going to mention is really intriguing, but that is what we, and in capitals, need to know, because Ross makes a lot of statements, such as one of the big talking points here. He believes now, from speaking to sources, that the Tic Tac from 2004 is Lockheed Martin technology. So Lockheed Martin's a private aerospace contractor. It seems mainly through people Ross Coulthart has spoken to, he has now formed this opinion. So has he been persuaded by individuals? Has he been shown proof or evidence? He's not going into detail. That's clearly going to frustrate a lot of people, including in the comments on his own YouTube channel, online. It depends where you sit in this conversation. Are you going to take someone's word or testimony at face value, especially when it's coming through, I've been told? You know, a lot of folks get frustrated with the trust me bro approach. So personally, I would put faith that Ross has vetted any sources. Is it perhaps Eric Burleson has told him through David Grush? Is it David Grush? Is it Jake Barber? Who knows? But I think, choking there. I think we could do with Ross cleaning it up a little bit more, if he can, as to how he's come to form this new opinion. I'd be really interested in that. Folks with a far better memory than me, I wonder what was Ross's opinion on the Tic Tac situation, you know, years gone by. What did he write about in his book? I've seen some people mention. So things can change. Opinions and knowledge should be malleable, should be fluid as new information comes to light. But this is quite the statement to be making. So Ross Coulthart thinking now that the Tic Tac is Lockheed Martin technology. Even with this potentially being human origin, it's then still most definitely from back-engineered or reverse-engineered recovered non-human tech. Essentially, folks, alien spaceships, alien craft that have been recovered in the past have been used to manufacture whatever these Tic Tacs are. That's still likely going to be the case. I'm still of the opinion that these Tic Tacs were some kind of drone. I always leant on the side of a drone from something or somewhere else. But perhaps they are human tech using non-human technology to make them. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? That's one of the big ones I want folks to get in touch with is and let me know your thoughts, opinions, feelings. Do you believe that? Do you not? Does that make sense to you? Use the email address in the description. Use the contact form on the website. I'm going to get all those into the next show. Ross then goes on to say sources have asked him to bring attention to that while, yes, the United States has made breakthroughs in technology, so have China and Russia, and compartmentalization is really harming them. So saying that the US does indeed have some really advanced, super cool technology, but so do the Chinese and so do Russia. He says particularly that China have made a huge leap forward. And here's the other big one for me, taking away from the latest need to know. He mentions that the drone show over New Jersey in the east coast of the United States from back at the end of 2024, unless you're brand new to the subject, you will have at least heard or seen all the stuff on the news back then. He says that was initially advanced Chinese technology. Then the US stepped in and perhaps used their own to negate some of that, to put on a show themselves. This is something I thought myself at the time anyway, not through any super secret sources. No one was telling me it's this or it's that. It just made sense that I'm not seeing anything in these videos or these pictures that represent a truly non-human source. Anything I saw that looked a little bit strange, tended to look pretty fake, which again, it's hard to tell, isn't it? Or it was people saying, here are some lights flying in the distance, which just looked like aircraft or drones. And then you heard the, but then afterwards, it flew away at incredible speed, or it done something really strange, but you almost never got to see that. So that makes sense to me. I'm not saying, okay, that's the explanation, but that does make sense to me that perhaps the Chinese were involved, sent those drones over, really advanced drones. The US then took over, got involved, and it was a little bit of a show of strength, bit of posturing. I don't know. What do you people think about that? Really interesting. A lot of folks in the UFO community, frustratingly for me, and I don't mean just your average Joe, no offence to anyone who's Joe or average, but folks with big platforms who couldn't help but run after the non-human angle to that with very, very, very little evidence. And it's not just if that's the angle you want to take. For the love of Christ, I have a UFO podcast. I want everything to be aliens. But I like to think I'm sensible and realistic. And yeah, and I'm seeing a lot of those people starting to walk this back now and take a new route and new tact. They won't acknowledge the bias reporting in the first place, but that's a frustration of mine, perhaps not for everyone. So Ross Coulter going, one, the tic-tac was Lockheed Martin human technology, and that the Chinese have made such a huge leap forward, they're now posturing over the US with their own technologies. A couple of other things brought up on that Need to Know episode. Ross Coulthart mentioned legislation was going up in the next month or so in front of Congress that would appoint the FBI as the lead to investigate UAP or UFOs, bypassing Arrow in the United States. Interesting turn up. Would this make Arrow redundant? Surely that would be then something that would go. In a time when I don't pretend to know everything that's happening within the United States political systems, but would that be the case that the funding would be pulled completely from Arrow if the FBI is taking over things there? Are you comfortable listening to this right now? Well, not are you comfortable listening to this, I hope you are. But are you comfortable with the FBI leading the UFO side of things, the UAP investigations? I think at this point Arrow's run its course unless anything massively changes. Again, for me, it's a little bit like the Marvel superhero movies right now. They are not winning me back round. I've still not seen Thunderbolts, folks. Yeah, I told Dan that the other week when I messaged him. And I kind of wanted to see that one, but you've been disappointed so many times recently by them that I want, is Arrow just the same? There are only so many disappointments you can make before you have to do something completely different. And I wonder if Arrow's time is perhaps up. Whatever the outcome here, I think ultimately in all of this, folks, Ross is saying we're looking at a breakthrough in physics. That's obvious, I think, regardless of this situation. And one of the big talking points, even if you are against the NHI side of things with a lot of this, you're very sceptical perhaps, there has been a breakthrough in physics made at some point in the last 2 or 3 decades, maybe a little bit longer, but I wouldn't go too far back. And this is being kept from the public. So what technologies, what advancements aren't being made available to the public that are being kept for purposes of war, purposes of weaponry, you know, all that horrible stuff. But that seems to be a large part of this here. And again, for me, that's the frustration, the concern that anything NHI related, it's always going to link in with the weaponry, with the reverse engineering, and essentially it's going to be locked up under national security. That's a bit of a concern of mine. But, and there was some strong language used as well from Ross Coulthart on this episode. Bryce doesn't talk too much, but I'll get to Bryce's part because Ross really leads on this one. Ross says this is another 9/11 in terms of intelligence failure. I don't think that's unfair that if another power has this technology, you could easily look at another Pearl Harbor type event with multiple strikes taking place in seconds before the US had any time to retaliate or defend. I suppose you would say the opposite though, wouldn't you? That if the US had this technology, then they could perhaps attack another superpower, i.e. China or Russia. It's an interesting conversation, that whole war game scenario, to play it out, that if indeed the US or China or Russia had one of these really advanced craft, even just one, does that not give them the complete superiority in any war footing? And if the other nations knew that they had this technology and capability, it would keep them at bay. You know, you lose. It's one to think through, of course. Ross said that the United States is not as advanced or so far ahead than people think. That's a myth. In all of this, though, how much of it is bluster? How much potentially is this stuff being fed to Ross or other journalists to further agendas? Like I said, I believe Ross Coulthart would do his due diligence, but what we don't know, and this is very fair, is what has Ross just been told, and he's using his gut to go with it, and he's using common sense to assign a level of probability. I'd love to speak to Ross and follow up as best we can. I'd love to see Ross follow up more on News Nation with a Q&A, or indeed the next Need to Know, if Bryce can take himself away, collect his thoughts. And Bryce is pretty good at pushing back on Ross. They've got a good relationship in that sense. I'd like to think there's going to be some pushback there as well. And, you know, Bryce says at the end, very fair question, that given where everything looks here, that it's one thing to talk about the US, China, Russia, he believes there must be another player in all of this for it to make sense, and that would be the NHI themselves, something alien, another entity that's at play. And is it, and I doubt it's in cahoots with any one nation or superpower, is it just there in the background causing chaos? Linking into that, Eric Burleson was on a show, the Timcast, back in May, I think it was, where he shared that he had spoken with someone who said the Tic Tac was Lockheed Martin technology. However, I've seen a few folks comment on that then and now, that if indeed Lockheed Martin had access to that level of technology back in 2004, because that's where you're going back to with this, if they had anti-gravitic technology, they would rule aerospace and wouldn't have lost the F-47 contract that they just have to Boeing. So the Lockheed Martin had, were hoping to get a contract for the F-47 fighters. It's gone to Boeing. It's a contract worth $20 billion. So if indeed Lockheed were so far advanced, so far ahead of the game, would they not be winning those contracts? Would they not have the edge? Maybe it's even so compartmentalised within Lockheed that that's not the case, that Lockheed has its own small reserve island of individuals who deal with something totally separate to the main interests. Interested to hear people's thoughts on all of the points Ross made on Need to Know around the drone spat back in late 2024, being reasonably advanced human tech, or the Tic Tac potentially being human tech. Best way, email or use the contact form on thatufopodcast.com. couple of other things to run through in terms of news items, folks. Let me know what you think of the roundup format, because I love bouncing off of individuals, like having Dan, Pavel, Nathan, someone on to go through these. But a lot of folks like to hear the stuff kind of relatively soon when it comes out. So I'm trying to get this, my thoughts, my opinions out, and then follow up down the road. So give me a shout. These will obviously be shorter shows, given you're not going to listen to me speak for an hour on all of this stuff myself. I don't think I even could if I wanted to. Ross Coulthart had just last week, I mentioned previously, Senator Mike Rounds on, and a couple of things he mentioned there that just got me thinking was, one, the UAP Disclosure Act is to be reintroduced. Is this a lame duck, though, trying to get this legislation back through for what would be a third attempt? The big things that were failing were the eminent domain clauses and the Presidential Review Board. Eminent domain, folks, again, for those newer to the subject or who haven't heard or been aware, is essentially that the US government would have the capability to go and claim anything back from private contractors, like crash craft, bodies of aliens, all that kind of stuff. I'll just put it in really simple terms. I believe in the Constitution, people cleared this up last time as well, eminent domain is there anyway, so there's nothing stopping the US government doing that if they wanted to. It seems more of a, I don't know, more of a show publicly to put it in there. The Presidential Review Board would be really interesting to have there, where you've got a 9-person panel from different disciplines collecting all the information that's been collated over the years and decades by the government and organisations, and they would cipher through it and work out what could be declassified to the public to disclose that kind of non-human presence, entities being captured or found over the years and decades, technologies that may have been accrued without harming national security. So he does mention it there. I feel personally we need something more, something to be coordinated and used to get momentum behind this for it to actually get through in full and intact. There's still too much pushback that isn't seen in the public when this stuff gets in front of the people who need to see it. So for me, there would have to be something like a David Grush coming out again with more whistleblowers around the same time, to really get this into the public sphere, public imagination, in front of the mainstream media, not just introduced as a bill in amongst a load of other bills for it to be refused and knocked back again. Ross Coulthart did bring up in that interview the Jake Barber, not having a full conversation with him about him to Senator Rounds, but it just made me think that surely we're due some more information on a big update from Skywatcher. It was the end of May the last time they dropped some of those tutorial videos, and we've heard kind of nothing since. So yeah, halfway through the year, Jake Barber and co, you know, they did say in terms of Skywatcher, by the end of the year, they would essentially put up or shut up. We're in July now, folks. Where do you sit with what Skywatcher has provided so far? Realistically, what are we going to get in the next 5 months? Now, Senator Rounds does say that it would be crazy to think we are alone. For me, it was nice to hear him say a thing like that again, out there as a snippet in the mainstream. You can put that one in the bank. You can save that up. We've got another senator on record, another high-ranking official saying it's crazy to think we are alone, at least open to the idea. Aliens, UFOs, NHI, whatever your favourite in the buffet is, you know, is potentially a thing. That for me is a big win. Couple of smaller news items then, folks, just to round up with. Graham Rendell has a YouTube video out on his channel, Bite-Sized UFOs. Please go subscribe and check that one out, folks. Graham's been a guest and a friend of mine now for a long time on this podcast. And it's titled, Where Has the Optimism Gone? To try not do it a disservice, basically Graham is talking about, you know, the UFO community and subject, where he's kind of at with things. It's a 15-minute video, all Graham's opinion, but I think he frames it really well. You know, what I took from it was, for example, the three Navy videos were a big wow moment for Graham, and he really felt a sense of unease at seeing these strange objects, especially the gimbal. And since then, he feels it's been lesser, and nothing's really had the same impact for him. But are we in a, you know, if it's a roller coaster, was that a peak and it's all been downhill since then? Personally, I feel there's been a lot more ups and downs, you know, Grush, the hearings, Barber, Matthew Brown, is all stuff that's really excited me, but it's very much an individual thing, isn't it? It reminds me a little bit of, you know, episode one of a new hit TV show, no matter how good it is always going to get the biggest audience. that audience will then usually dwindle into to episode 2, 3, 4. The season will kind of start to steady in terms of how many folk are interested. And I think it's the same with the UFO topic. We get a big bang, and if we think 2017 New York Times, you know, those videos dropping online to the Stars Academy, all that stuff around that time was a big groundswell of people looking back into the topic. Idiots like myself starting to get more, oh, you know, something I've always had an interest in. A couple of years later, you start a podcast on it. Hey ho, here we are. You know, for me, I can see where Graham's coming from, and that since then was that episode 1, and since then we're maybe at the end of season 1, but for some of us it's season 4, season 5 since then. So where are you with the UFO topic in that sense? I'd be interested, but go check out Graham's channel, Bite-Sized UFOs, folks. I'll put the link in the description as well. Always interesting to hear Graham's opinion. He's had a 50-year plus interest in the UFO topic, so it's really interesting to get that historical historian point of view as well. Here's an interesting one for you. MUFON Symposium. MUFON Symposium is due the 17th to the 20th of July at the Northern Kentucky Convention Center in Cincinnati, Ohio. It's streaming live worldwide. There's a little trailer for it online. Can I just say, one thing I despise in advertising and life in general is, this might sound really weird, right? You're getting a glimpse into Andy here, is whispering. I can't stand whispering in adverts or TV or movies. It's just something that drills into my soul, right? And oh god, it makes me, I hate it. They whisper in the advert for that trailer. If anyone from MUFON's listening, please bin that. It can't just be me that hates that. The whispering just does my head in. Sorry folks, that's a rant from me. But MUFON Symposium, how they're advertising it, and we'll come back to the big one that I want to mention. You can hear from top UFO researchers, experiencers, whistleblowers, and scientists. Witness the reveal of materials unknown, lab-analyzed physical evidence linked to non-human intelligence. Discover secret government programs on psionics and directed energy, and explore contact cases, stargates, and the frontiers of consciousness. The lab analysis stuff is what I'm intrigued with here. But let's just say, folks, personally, I'm not expecting much. Let me just read you some of the stuff from one of the press releases here. So what they've said, Ron James, who is the head of media relations for MUFON, says, don't miss the opportunity. This was kind of aimed at podcasters and stuff like that, to feature groundbreaking UFO revelations on your shows by interviewing our experts in advance of July 17th. This is the biggest story in the field right now. Right. I don't like the language straight away, that groundbreaking UFO revelations is the same as the YouTube thumbnails with shocking blah, 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 when it's not shocking at all, okay? This has been around for a while, and I don't feel if they had something that huge that you would package it in this way, that you would build up to a 3 or 4 day conference to reveal it. And I've said this before, you would surely have major networks, not even mainstream news networks anymore. You would have a Joe Rogan or a Lex Friedman or a Stephen Bartlett podcast who would want to air this in front of millions of viewers and listeners. I think you're setting yourself up for failure, even if there is some interesting science to be done here on anomalous materials, which should be the focus. People are getting so wrapped up in trying to blow everything up to something that they want it to be, rather than focus on what it is or could be. They've got UFO witness comes forward with materials, the Russian sample. So at MUFON's 2024 symposium, people may remember that MUFON introduced a material sample sent from Russia. The lab results are finally in, and they are shocking. Again, for me, it reads like ChatGPT has written this. The manufacturing process is unknown. Sample has been in space. Organic-like elements may still be growing, and there's evidence of nanotechnology. Last year, Ron James submitted metal fragments from a UFO case directly to US Senator Kirsten Gillibrand and Arrow. The materials were previously tested by the Battelle Institute, NASA, Hal Putov, Gary Nolan, the US Army Materials Lab, Arrow, and to the Stars Academy. The results of these tests have been repeatedly classified and withheld from the witness, yet these tests have indicated the material is no known manufactured metal. Finally, during the symposium, MUFON will present a sneak preview of Ron James's new film. The original witness steps forward with his story and the material itself. Again, that's just for me. You're trying to sell tickets to something, which I totally appreciate as somebody who right now has a book on pre-order, folks, I may have mentioned, but just focus on the serious side of things, the science here. Is there something to this? Let's have a look. Let's see. It just seems like you're wanting to build it up to be something it's potentially not. But I wish them all the best of luck, and I'll be looking at what comes out of that as well on the 17th to the 20th. And I'll put the link in the description if anyone wants to check out the MUFON Symposium. A lot of speakers and stuff chatting about a lot of different elements of the UFO subject in there as well. And finally, the Baltic Sea Anomaly. So this is one that's been around now for a while. A team led by ocean explorer Dennis Asberg have finished their expedition to gather data on the Baltic Sea Anomaly. What is the Baltic Sea Anomaly, folks? Okay, so for those of you maybe unfamiliar, you might remember seeing the picture of a potentially Millennium Falcon-shaped object under the ocean that was scanned. And essentially we've got a kind of low resolution picture of something there. If you weren't aware of it or haven't heard of it, it was discovered in 2011 in June by the Swedish dive team Ocean X in the northern Baltic Sea. It's located about 90 metres underwater between Sweden and Finland. The object is roughly 60 metres wide, circular in shape, and it's got some odd angles and features that have sparked speculation, folks. It's been featured on a lot of shows like Ancient Aliens and others on those kind of documentaries. There's a 300 metre long disturbed seabed track which appears to lead to the object. I think a lot of folks would think that the object has perhaps crashed, slid along, or been moved and sat where it is now, and the track is there because of that. Initial sonar images led to some believe it looked like a crash UFO or sunken structure. The dive team reported electronic interference near the site. The samples analysed show volcanic rock and glacial sediment consistent with natural geological formations. So right now there's nothing incredible in the samples. A lot of mainstream scientists believe it's likely a glacial rock formation, likely shaped during the last ice age. Alternative theories, folks. Ancient astronaut theory suggests Nazi tech to lost civilizations to ET origins. There's been no peer-reviewed scientific survey or anything just yet, but that's what the scientists are looking to do now. And Dr. Beatrice Villarreal said yesterday evening, "I had the pleasure of welcoming back the courageous team led by ocean explorer Dennis Asberg, who sailed out to investigate the mysterious Baltic Sea anomaly. The team on board include members from the French Sigma 2 3AF Society and the US-based CQR Robotics. During data collection, the weather gods were on their side, and the group returned with a beautiful high-resolution data of the object. The return trip faced rough seas, and I know it wasn't easy for any of them." Beatrice couldn't join them herself due to motion sickness that she gets, but over the coming weeks and months, they are going to be working intensely to analyse the data, applying a hypothesis-driven approach to examine all possible explanations, both natural and artificial. And of course, she says, to check if it's a crashed UFO. I love that, because they're being that, and that's what I would like to see done. When I mentioned the MUFON stuff, it's, this is really weird, this is alien, this is this. There's some actual science being done on something to say it might be strange, it might not be. We're going to go and look at it and then look through the data, and we're going to take our time. There you go. Nothing spectacular, nothing incredible. Something that could be, but let's be fair, I think we in this topic, well, I say we, many of us, try and err on the side of, you know, prepare to be disappointed or keep your expectations low. And you can't be too disappointed at the end of the day. So some proper science being done, with hopefully some answers to come on that as well. Something that certainly has a mystique to it, doesn't it? In 2025, though, I think we're at the point where the basic technology is at least there to start exploring things like this more, without needing millions and millions and millions of pounds or dollars to go and do it. So yeah, listen, that's a roundup of the news, folks, so far in the last week. Later in the week, like I said, I'm going to have Dan on with me to discuss some of this stuff and also some of your thoughts in general on where we are as the year passes its halfway point. I'd love to know your thoughts on these kind of roundup shows, again, where it's just me going through the news and then get someone on to discuss it with me within a couple of days, if and when possible. I just like to get these things out while they're still relatively fresh. And this is a chance for me to ask you to get involved. Use the contact form on the website, email me over, folks, and let me know your questions, thoughts and opinions. And another one I love your thoughts on as well, on the Discord chat, one of the users, Mark, has been putting summaries of loads of different YouTube shows and things on there, which is really, really handy. You get access to the Discord when you sign up and pay for the podcast on Patreon, Apple, Spotify, YouTube. If you're signed up and a paid member, let me know and I'll get you the link to get in. Great community, a lot of great resources now in there as well. But some of the summaries, something that folks get in touch with me quite often about, folks, is they enjoy different elements of the UFO topic. I think that this podcast tends to stay quite grounded, given what I'm talking about and, you know, what we're discussing and the guests I have on. It can get pretty out there at times, but I'm thinking of now and again doing a bit more of a summary show on the really out there stuff. And you know, you get stuff on like 4chan and different leak websites and Reddit and things like that, which are very speculative. And, you know, a Reddit user has posted they were a whistleblower and they've got information on the underground bases, and maybe putting that in its own show for folks who are really into that kind of conversation and out there stuff. I always remain very sceptical, but there's a lot of it that's an interesting what if. So if there's anything like that you want to hear discussed, let me know separately. That would be great. There's some really interesting stuff on the summaries on the Discord, and I'm going to dive into some of those YouTube channels and productions. Definitely more, like I say, on the crazy out there side of the conversation. But some of it's a pretty intriguing chat to be had. Anyway, I've had half an hour of your time, folks. Thank you so much for joining me on this roundup for this week. And I hope to hear from you in the next couple of days to get some comments, some questions, thoughts and opinions to get involved in the upcoming shows. Thank you very much for listening. My new book, Atlas of Unidentified Flying Objects, is now available to pre-order wherever books are sold, including Amazon, Barnes & Noble and Waterstones. Explore the UFO phenomenon through 34 cases from throughout the world, with accompanying pictures and maps in a beautiful hardback edition or download for your Kindle. Links available in the podcast description below.